Good morning. My name is Charles Morgan. I'm with Word is Live Ministries. I want to give a shout out to everyone that helps support us. We are on air by your support and your donations. Appreciate that very much. If you have someone that missed the radio broadcast, just let you know that we are on Facebook, YouTube, and we also podcast, and you can search all those with Word is Alive, and you'll get them. And this morning we're going to be in 2 Corinthians. This is a letter from Paul to the church at Corinth. It is the second one. The first one was pretty scathing. He was addressing some problems and telling them what they need to do, and they'd made some corrections, and here he's giving them instruction and some direction in preaching and what they need to do, and we all need that. And I really just love this and what it says to us. And so in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have not received mercy, we faint not, as we have received mercy, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world," and that's a little g, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Okay, what is Paul talking about? He's talking about preaching. He's talking about presenting the gospel, and he's talking about what it is and how it's being handled by the world, and giving them these things. And we can look at these things and we can say, that seems like today. Well, that's because we're still human beings. The gospel, the Bible, is still relevant today. These were people back then. We look at them a lot of times, and I think we just disseminate this and say, well, they were different than us. But they may not have been dealing with the same kind of technology, but they were still dealing with the same things. And the gospel was being spread. This church was established, and it was preaching the gospel. Paul had been preaching, and he's wanting to let them know that it wasn't him. It wasn't about him. It wasn't for him. It was for Jesus Christ. And he said, we have this ministry. And we talk about that a lot of times, this ministry, this carrying, this thing that we do. As we have received mercy, we faint not. We do it because we've received mercy. Folks, mercy from God. Mercy from the Lord Almighty. Why is that mercy important? Because we didn't deserve anything. We didn't deserve the salvation that he brought. What we deserve was death, and that's what the Bible talks about, because of sin. The wages of that sin is death. That's what we deserve. But God said, no, I don't want that. I want them to have a way back to me. He provided a road so that we could get back to him after the fall of man, after that man turned away from him and did the wrong thing. You can call it whatever you want, but we call it sin. He turned away from God, and after that, God had a plan already. He had it ready for Jesus Christ to come incarnate, that means in body, and die for our sin, pay that sin debt for us, so that we could have salvation, saved from that death. You are an eternal being. You will spend eternity in one of two places, in heaven or in hell. And if you spend it in heaven, you will be Jesus Christ, and you have to accept him. And that is the only way that you can have salvation. You can't have it in any other way. You can't get it in yourself. You can't get it through a church. You can't get it through a preacher. You have to have a personal relationship with Christ. Go to him and accept that free gift that he gives, and only he gives. There's nothing you can do that can get you into heaven except accept what has been already given. And that gift was given on the cross of Calvary when he died and rose from the dead and defeated death so that we could have eternal life. And so he keeps on going. He said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Lost from what? Lost from God, that are still out there. They are the walking dead. Now, we see all these kind of movies, but literally they are. If you are not saved, you are dead in your sins until Jesus saves you and gives you that free gift when you say, Lord, I want it. He's not going to force it on you. But in verse 4, he says something here, and I want to get into this. It says, whom the God of this world, and this is a small g. He's talking about Satan. Now, Satan cannot be everywhere at one time. He is not God. He is not as powerful as God. He only does what he can do by permission from God. But he has a lot of help. And I tell you, a lot of times we get into this thing and say, oh, Satan stopped me from doing this, and Satan stopped me. We live in a fallen world. There are things that are going to happen because of that, and we don't need to attribute every little thing to Satan, but it is the evil that is there. We attribute those things as if he is personally there doing all those things, and he can't be where you are and where somebody else is, but I'm telling you, he's got a lot of these fallen angels that are helping. This God of this world says it have blinded the minds of them which believe not. Put a blinder upon them, you know, when they used to work with mules and things like that, they would put blinders on them on the side so that they wouldn't be able to see left and right. They'd just be able to see ahead of them and do what they were needed to do right then so that they would follow and plow and do everything they needed. And that's what's been happening right now. The God of this world has provided a lot of things that blind us. And as more and more technology comes up, the more and more we're blinded. Those that are out there that are lost are blinded. And folks, I'm telling you right now, some people who claim to be children of God are blinded as well. And how are they blinded? They don't get in their word. They don't pray. They don't worship. They don't give God the praise that they should. They do these things to themselves. They stay in places they shouldn't. They use this technology and they are looking at things. I want to ask you right now, if you were to keep track every single day, every single week for a month of how much you read your Bible versus how much you get on your phone and look at everything else, what would the percentages be? You know, we should know this word of God. We should know that. You should know right now. If you're a child of God, you ought to know whether I'm telling the truth or not. You ought to know because you know the word of God. But you ought to be getting fed right now and taking it in and using that to nourish yourself, because we need that. And we're going to get in that a little bit more. But we need preaching. The Bible talks about that we need preaching. We need preachers, those who will present the gospel. And Paul is talking about this, that we're in these earthen vessels. But we're preaching not of ourselves, not of what we want to preach, but what God wants to get out there. And every preacher that preaches the truth ought to submit himself to Christ every single time he gets up, and he ought to be ready to go in whatever the Holy Spirit has got for him to say and expound upon the gospel that is in front of him and talk about it and not talk about himself. If you've got a preacher that gets up and all they do is talk about themselves and how their accomplishments are this and that, you know, you got to wonder about this. If they just talk about how good it is to feel, you know, and all these things, and they don't talk about Jesus, you got to look at them and go, you're not preaching the right thing. You got to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen from the dead. And if you're not preaching that, preacher, then you're preaching the wrong thing. If you think you're doing everything just to get people in the pews and give and all this stuff, and you care more about what they care about than what Jesus cares about, preacher, you need to get out of it or get on track. People, we all need to get on track, every single one of us. He said, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, listen, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. They're blinded from the gospel. You say, well, why do some of these people act the way they are? Because they've been blinded from the gospel by the God of this world, presenting every single thing. It may be their life, it may be their career, it may be their kids, it may be anything else other than the glorious gospel. And they need to hear it. Absolutely need to hear it. But they've been blinded from it. The glorious gospel of Christ. Christ, who is the image of God. He thought it not robbery to be God. Jesus Christ is God. 100% man, 100% God. Sinless in all perfection in everything. That died in our stead. That died so that we wouldn't have to. That if we'll just accept that glorious gospel, that glorious good news, we can have eternal life. But only the gospel of Christ. It's not anything else. So if you're sitting there and you say you're a Christian and you say, well, I think there's other ways to heaven, you're not a Christian. Christian is those that say that there is only one way, and Jesus himself said it, that there was only one way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if you claim to be a Christian, but you're one of these that say, well, I think there's other ways to heaven, you're wrong and you need to get saved. I'm telling you that right now, because you cannot say you're a follower of Christ and believe there are other ways into heaven. He said this is the only way. You say, well, you think those other people are going to hell? Yes, I'm sorry to say it is. Anyone who denies Jesus Christ, yeah, is going to hell. That's just the way it is. Adrian Rogers was asked if he believed that, and he said, I believe that if my own children reject Jesus Christ, they're going to hell. And that's the truth. We have to accept Jesus Christ. Everything he said. He is the Christ. He is the Redeemer. He is the only one. He is the Son of God. He's the one that came and died for our sin so that we could have eternal life. Verse 5, he says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. God, Yahweh. He said, we don't preach of ourselves. We're not supposed to. We're not supposed to put ourselves in that place and say it's preaching. You know, it doesn't matter how famous a preacher you are. I guarantee you at some point in time you will be unknown because you will die and somebody else will come up and take your place and continue to preach, and it will continue to be done because God still calls preachers. I'm not sure he's still calling as many as he did. We don't see as many. We see a lot of these young preachers that are leaving the ministry because of the stress that they're going under and a lot of things that are happening in some of these churches. And I know that, and it's sad, but it's happening. And I hope that they will continue to preach. And if you're listening to this right now and you're a young preacher and you're hurt and you're not knowing what to do, continue on. Continue on. And if they won't listen to you where you are, knock the dust from your feet and go somewhere else. Because I'm telling you right now, it's getting to the point that they've got itchy ears and they're just only hearing what they want to hear. And if you don't preach what they want, then they're going to try to get rid of you. And they're going to get somebody else in there that'll preach what they want to hear. And they'll say, well, he's a good preacher, man. He makes me feel good when I leave there. The gospel is not about feeling good. The gospel is about knowing that you're a sinner and separated from God and that you need to get back with him. That's what the glorious gospel is. It's the good news that you know that where you are and you know where you need to be, and here's the avenue of how to get there. He said, we don't preach of ourselves. And he said, ourselves, your servants of Jesus' sake. So we're your servants. We're just preaching to you. We're just trying to tell you the truth. You know, a lot of people, well, you know, that's harsh stuff, and that's just getting too bad. But, you know, and I've said this time and time again, if the bridge was out and you knew it, wouldn't you get out on a highway and try to stop everybody you could? Whether they liked it or not, if they honked their horn and called you crazy, you'd still say, hey, the bridge is out. Don't go down there. Well, folks, I'm telling you right now, without Jesus Christ, you are lost and dying and going to hell. And I don't want you to go there. I don't care what kind of person you are, how mean you think you are, or what you've done. I'm telling you that Jesus died for you, and you can accept Jesus Christ and have eternal life. But I'm telling you right now that there are many that say they do, and they're not. They're not new creatures. They have not changed. They're not different. They just said so, and they don't want to change. They don't truly want to accept Christ, but they want that moniker of being able to say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. You need to truly devote your life to him. Because once you get saved, you have an obligation to tell others about him. You have an obligation to live your life according to his will, to do what he has said for you to do. Verse 6, it says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness has shined in our hearts. He's talking about these preachers. He's shined in our hearts. Paul really knew something about this. He was on the road to Damascus. Had letters to bring all these Christians back that had fled from Jerusalem. And he was going to take them back, and he was going to put them in trials. And they call it the way back then. And I really like that. I wish we were called the way today. Paul knew about this, and that light that shined was Jesus Christ. Shined down on him, and he had something for him to do. He by all accounts, was an awful person. didn't care about these people, didn't care about their well-being. He just wanted to go and get them. He was up and coming. Today we would look at him and say, hey man, he's bound for great things. Boy, he's going to do good things in his life. He's going to be in charge of so many things, and he's going to do this, and he's going to do that. Paul was ready, and he was willing, and he had a lot of zeal for what he was doing, but on the road to Damascus, Jesus changed his mind, and he became a new creature, completely different, not bound for what he was doing before, but bound to preach the gospel just like he is here. He was beaten, he was left for dead, he was imprisoned, and he kept on doing it. Now, it got him down a few times, and we see that, but he kept on going. Had to take a little time to recuperate. And at the end of Romans, he talks about those that helped him recuperate, helping him get back on the track. Folks, we need one another. Hey, if you got a church and home, and that's great, you are going to be there. And how about going up and telling somebody that does something every Sunday, hey, I appreciate what you do. Pat them on the back. Hey, I can't do what you're doing, but I'm glad you're doing it. You're up there leading singing, or you're playing the piano, or you're up there preaching, or you get up and you give the devotional in the morning, or you do this or do that, or hey, I saw you picking up gum wrappers a while ago. That's so great. I'm glad you did that. Give them some appreciation. He said, God commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He shines in the dark world. We don't know a lot about darkness anymore. We've got lights everywhere. I used to have a job where I would travel, and I would do a lot of flying, and I'd be returning at night, and I'd look down as I was sitting in a window seat, and I'd look, and I'd try to find places that there was no light around them. And it was hard to find any place. It was hard to find. Even out in a rural place, you'd see a security light or street light, whatever you want to call them, right there. And then not too far, you'd see another one. And from that vantage point, it looked like they shined out to one another. It's hard to find just what we call darkness. It wasn't too long ago we were without power because of an ice storm, and none of those lights were shining, and we knew what darkness was, and we were trying whatever we could to get some light. Well, that's what this world is. This world is dark. This world is darkened by sin. And Jesus Christ is the light. He came into this world to shine the light so that we could see what was going on. That there was sin in this world. You know, it's an amazing thing when you are in something dark and you can't see, and all of a sudden you turn a light on and you see the things that are around you. Amazing. You didn't see those before. When you get saved, I'm going to tell you what, you'll see things. You'll feel things. You'll know things. You'll be a different person. And you'll be so glad of it. And you'll serve God. And you'll know that He's right there for you. Darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You think that Paul's on to something right here? You think he's sticking with this, isn't he? He's sticking with Jesus Christ and this light, and he says the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. You can have the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's not just a heartfelt thing. It's a thing that you can know. You can know that you are saved. That's what John says. I write these things unto you that you may know that you are saved, that you have eternal life. People say, oh, well, I hope so. It's not a hope so. It's a know so. You need to know that you have Jesus Christ. I've met with people that were older and had claimed to be Christians for so long, and you talk to them about it, and they say, well, I hope so. I hope I did the right thing. You can look in the Bible. You can tell if you did the right thing. Did you accept that free gift? Did you know that you were a sinner? Did you turn it over to Jesus Christ? Because the Bible says that you are washed from that sin. That sin debt has been wiped out, that you are indwelt by the Holy Ghost. He lives within you. So what are you talking about, these earthen vessels? We've been indwelt with the Holy Ghost. We need to take that seriously, that we need to know that's what we've got. We need to know that we're ambassadors for Christ, that everybody is looking at us, that everything we do is a reflection on Him, whether good or bad. We need to try every single day to get up and take it to Him. first. Say, Lord, I need guidance today. I need your light to shine for me. This Bible talks about it shines out in front of us. In Psalms, it talks about that it lights our path and our way and shows us what's out there, gives us a clue so that we're not just going at it blind, and Jesus didn't want us to go at it blind. That knowledge of the glory of Jesus Christ. But he said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He emphasizes, and I want to emphasize to you this morning, it's not about my words, it's about the words I'm reading. Because I'm reading from God's Word. I'm reading here so that you may know this is what God is saying to us, and we didn't know it. I urge you to read the whole book of 2 Corinthians, and then read another book, and know each verse, and know that it speaks to us, and we're supposed to be listening. We're supposed to be listening to it and what it says to us. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Maybe that second time it'll really hit home. Folks, we all need this. We need to know this because what we're going to read here is something in a little bit, because he's going to tell us. He's talking all about this and saying this is what we do and this is how we do it and this is why we do it and this is who we're preaching. We're preaching Jesus Christ. We are preaching a who. We're preaching a salvation, but we're preaching about Jesus, him crucified upon that cross. And folks, he did die on that cross. He was dead. He died for our sin. But when they came looking for him 3 days later, they couldn't find him in the tomb because he's risen, because he's alive today. I serve a risen Savior. We sing those songs every Easter. I wish we'd sing them all the time. They really need to be sung. He keeps on talking about this. He says, we're not doing it because of ourselves. We're doing it because of him. We're doing it because we're servants of him, that we're indwelt by him, that we are presenting his message. It's not us, but him, and we want to get that across. Because we get to this in verse 8. Because he said, we are troubled on every side. Now, I've highlighted that in my Bible so that we can know it's not just from one way. It's from behind us, it's beside us, it's the other side, and it's in front of us. He said, we're troubled on every side. So don't think it's something strange, Peter said, when these fiery darts of temptation come at you. Because that's the way it's going to be. Because when you get on the other side and you join Jesus, that God of this world, oh Satan and his team, he's against you then. Just like any other team, they don't want you to succeed. They don't want you to spread the gospel. They don't want you to tell people what you have now. They don't want you to let everyone know that you're a new creature. They don't want everybody to know the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. They want you to keep it hidden. They want you to be troubled on every side to the point that you don't do it. But listen to this. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. He said, yeah, it's coming at us, but we're not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. You say, well, that's easier for you to say. No, it's not either. I get the same way, and sometimes it gets you down. But we got to look at this and go, we don't have to be that way. I was speaking to my wife just the other day, and we were talking about this very thing, and I said, well, I go back to David and the Psalms and read, and he's distressed in things, but at the end of it, he says, but it's okay, you're God. If you got this thing. Sometimes we got to get that way. And hey, the human condition allows us to get down sometimes. But that's one of the reasons we need to have one another. And we have to talk to other Christians. And they say, I've been there. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Here, let me give you a hand up. Let me tell you that we're troubled on every side, but not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Verse 9, persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Look at that, folks. You think that there's not persecution in this world from all sides, and as we Christians are taking it, but look, we're not forsaken. Jesus didn't forget about us. He didn't look at us and go, that's just the way it is. No, he said, I'm with you always. Even on the end of the world, he said, I'm not leaving you. How are we going to know that? We got to get in prayer. We got to have a relationship with him. We got to look at it and go, look, I know you're there. I appreciate it so much, Lord. Maybe I'm getting down right now, but I need a little help up, you know. Because this world is going to stomp you down. This world is going to put you down. This world's going to trouble you on every side. This world's going to persecute you. He said, we're cast down. Hey, just thrown down. But we're not destroyed. Paul knew something about this. He'd been beaten. He'd been left for dead. But he said, we're not destroyed. No, they're beating on us. They're putting us down. But we're not destroyed. Folks, this world is not our home. We need to know that right now. You need to know that as a child of God right now. And you need to know that as a lost person that you can have another home, that you can look at this world and go, and no matter what is going on in this world, I don't have to be worried about it. I can be concerned about it. There's a difference between worry. Worry is going to eat you up to where you're not doing anything else. But he said, we don't have to be that way. He said, all these things, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. He said, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. He said, we do all this and we keep on going, bearing about in this Jesus Christ dying. May be manifest in us. That people will see it in us. People will see us coming through these things. People will know that, hey, they've got something I don't have. Something I need. We need to present that to the world today. We don't need to go and go, oh, well, I don't know what all is going to happen. I'm so depressed. Don't be an Eeyore Christian that's always looking at the bad side of things. Oh, yeah, we saw some people say, but, you know, it'll probably get bad again. Don't be like that. Praise God that somebody got saved. Praise God that somebody's out there preaching the gospel. Praise God that there's evangelists. I've got good evangelist friends that are out there preaching the gospel, going to different places and in foreign countries sometimes. And I've gone to a foreign country before, and it's different, folks. Praise God that somebody's doing that, even if you can't. Praise God that somebody's going to their neighbor, going to their coworker. Going to the person at school, talking to the person at the grocery store that they saw was feeling down or whoever it was, and getting in there and going, hey, I understand feeling down. I understand what you're going through, but let me tell you about my friend, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about my Savior, my kinsman redeemer. The one that I can look at and go, hey, I'm troubled on every side, but I'm not distressed because I've got him there. He's been there. He's been there. He came through it, and he'll take me through it as well. The old saying, the Lord that brought you to it will bring you through it, is absolutely true. Sometimes it seems like it's not going to happen. Sometimes it seems like we've been forsaken. And we may even cry out to God and say, Lord, I feel like this, but I know it's not true. I've done that. I've cried out to him and said, Lord, I feel like you've left me here. But I know it's not true. I don't want the evil one to win. I need you today. This is the way I'm feeling. It's all right to take it to him. Paul's telling this church at Corinth, he's saying, hey, this is why we preach. We preach because of Jesus Christ. We preach because the God of this world is blinding people, and we've got to bring that glorious light to them. We've got to shine that light for them. We got to bring it to them. We got to shine the light through of Jesus Christ through us and through our words and through our speech. You know, it's like, you know, people say, well, is it better to show it through your life or what you say? Yes. What does that mean? Both. Let it shine through your life in everything you do, and let it shine through your words. Be prepared to share the good news of Jesus Christ. He said, well, I don't know a lot of Bible. I haven't been saved that long. You don't have to know a lot of Bible. You need to know what Jesus has done for you. You need to tell them, hey, the change that has been wrought in me, that has been made in me, you can have too. Today you can have that free gift of salvation because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, here it is. He told his apostles, he said, when I'm gone, you need to go into all the world and tell them about me. Preaching, seeing them saved and baptized them, and then teaching them about the Bible. You need, if you're a saved child of God, you need to get into a good Bible study. Be telling the lost person, but lost person today, you can be saved, you can have eternal life, you can know that Jesus Christ is your Savior today. And I want you to know that you can have it today. Just telling him, I know I'm a sinner, I know that I'm a sinner because all of sin comes short of the glory of God, and I know that you died on the cross for me, and I want to confess you as Lord and tell you that I love you and I believe that God raised you from the dead. I want to be saved, and then I want to learn about your word. You can do that today. Won't you do it and find you a good Bible-believing church and get in there and worship with them. Praise God with them. I want to thank you for allowing me to be with you today. My name is Charles Morgan. I'm with Word is Alive Ministries.